The scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
I was having a little trouble with my microphone earlier. Can people hear me? Is it coming through? Okay. So voices everywhere. Alexa, Siri, Cortana, hey Google. We've got voices from magazines and podcasts and talk radio and television and movies. We've got cable news upon cable news upon cable news and ad upon ad upon ad. We've got government reports and nutrition guides and market indices and consumer reports and jobs reports. We've got voices coming to us from our genes, from our family, from our friends, from the stranger on the street. We have voices coming from ourselves too, right? Talking to ourselves with words of fear and doubt and anxiety, of joy and of optimism. We've got our own experiences and good old-fashioned common sense. Voices everywhere all the time, some good, some bad, some neutral. And some of the most important questions we can ever ask ourselves are these. Which voices deserve our attention? Which voices deserve to be ignored? And how do we know the difference? Let's pray. God, this morning we've already heard tens, dozens, 100 different voices coming into our ears. But God, we want your voice. So calm us, center us, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to listen to your voice and nothing less. Amen. So the Magos, the Magi from Matthew chapter 12, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, which Renata just read the story to us, they too had voices everywhere, and they too needed to discern which ones to listen to and which ones to ignore. So just to get this out of the way as a parenthetical note, right, there's the three wise men, right? That's the tradition that we have. But Matthew gives us no number for the Magi. And probably we think three because there's three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there could have been a bunch of them. There probably was. And they weren't necessarily all male either. Probably some female Magi. So just to keep that in mind, that we don't know how many, and there were probably males and females, which your bulletin cover will help us remember. So anyway, the Magi were sensitive types who were good with astrology and interpreting dreams and were often called upon to interpret signs wherever and whenever they came. Matthew tells us that they came from the east, probably Arabia or Persia or Babylon. And why did they come? They came because they had seen something different, something unusual, something strange, something wonderful, a star that was unusual. And it indicated to them that a special king was going to be born or had been born. So they got together, they assembled a team, they put some resources together, and they started on a long and dangerous journey to see where that star would lead them. Now, the Magi were Gentiles, non-Jews, and yet they found themselves being led into the heart of Judaism, into the city of Jerusalem, where they quickly caught the attention of the nefarious King Herod. Boo, right? And so when he hears that they were searching a newborn king, that immediately caused Herod to feel threatened. And so he took steps, conniving steps, to eliminate the threat. So he says to the Magi, he hissed to the Magi into their sensitive ears, "Yeah, when you go find the baby king, come back here, because, you know, I'd really like to go and worship him myself." So the Magi left, following the star, completing their journey, and it led them to a house. And they go inside the house, and there they find the baby Jesus and his mother Mary. And I don't know, maybe it was the way Jesus was swaddled, or maybe it was the way he cooed, or the way that Mary looked at him with adoring eyes, or maybe it was the star parked outside. But for whatever reason, they instantly knew that their journey had been worthwhile, and this was the king that they were seeking. So they dropped down to their knees, and they offered three gifts, right? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold for his kingship, frankincense for his divinity, and myrrh for his humanity. But then it was time to leave. And upon leaving, they were faced with a dilemma brought upon by competing voices, right? On one hand, Herod had hissed into their sensitive ears and said, "Yeah, when you find the king, come back and tell me about it." On the other hand, Matthew tells us that they collectively had a dream that warned them about Herod, not to go home to him, but yet to go home by another route. Competing voices. How were they to know which was the good one and the bad one? How were they to know which one to choose? Matthew doesn't tell us, but I'm sure they talked about it. I'm sure they prayed. I'm sure they looked at the stars again. And in the end, they chose rightly, right? They chose to ignore Herod and to listen to their dream and to go home by another route. And because they chose rightly, they were able to grease the skids of the gospel of love spiraling outward into the world. And because they listened rightly and chose rightly, they were able to protect the newborn king who really was worth protecting. So there were three gifts, as we said, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But in rereading this story this week, I found a fourth gift that I had not seen before. It's a good thing about Scripture, right? It's worth looking and looking and looking again at what we think we know. And this week, I found a fourth gift. This gift, not for Jesus, but for us. So what's the gift? The gift that I found in this story was the gift of discerning the voices. The craft of choosing from all these voices that come into us all the time. And they model for us in this story how we can thread the needle to discern what's worth listening to, what's worth ignoring, and how to know the difference. So let's look at the Magi again. How do they model this for us? First of all, the Magi discern the voices by looking up, right? You can't see a star if you're looking down all the time. You can't notice the signs that God is putting into this world in all different kinds of ways if our head is buried in the sand. And the Magi presumably developed a practice of looking up, of stargazing. Because otherwise, if they didn't know what the sky was supposed to look like, how would they know if something was different, unusual, special in that one star? They had developed a practice together of looking up at the big celestial bodies, of asking the big questions. They developed the practice of looking up. So second, the Magi discern, they model discerning the voices not only by looking up, but also by looking in. See, Matthew doesn't give us a lot of details about this, but one does not simply look up at the sky and then gather a team, say goodbye to family and friends, risk lots of resources, and risk a long and dangerous journey without doing a little soul searching, right? I mean, I don't book a plane ticket to Florida or New Hampshire without, you know, doing a little thinking about if this is the right thing to do. So their lives were on the line, their livelihoods were on the line, and so presumably, definitely, they looked inward and made sure that their inner listening confirmed their looking up and what that was telling them. Okay, so the Magi, they discern the voices by looking up and by looking in, but also by looking between. And what I mean by that is this, that Matthew uses the word magos, M-A-G-O-S, which is plural, the Magi, not magus, which is one magi, whatever that might be, don't know. But he uses the word magos. It's a communal word, right? The Magi do everything together. They see the star together. They discern whether to follow the star together. They travel to Jerusalem together. They find Jesus, determine he's the one, and offer their gifts together. And it's not like one of them has a dream, right? It's a very funny detail. They had a dream. Have you ever shared the exact dream with somebody else? Probably they didn't. Probably there was one. But the way Matthew tells the story is that one person having the dream was as if they all did. They all got together and talked about it and discerned. So the principle here is that with the voices coming into us all the time, discerning the right way to go is best done usually as a communal activity, which is why it's so good to be in community with all of you, right? Lastly, we see the Magi discerning the voices not only by looking up and looking in and looking between, but also by crossing borders of all kinds, right? They cross economic borders and religious borders and language borders and certainly the borders of their own comfort zone to go on this long and dangerous journey. And because they crossed borders, they met new people, experienced new things, saw things in a new way. They were opened up, and I'm led to believe that that was a big reason why they were able, in the moment that it mattered, to choose Jesus over Herod, to choose rightly. Yeah. So putting this all together and looking at this journey of the Magi, we can see that they discern the voices by looking up and looking in and looking between and crossing borders wherever they found them. So here we are, 2,000 years later, the first Sunday of 2019, with a whole year ahead of us. And I don't know about you, but looking at the Magi and their choosing rightly, which then allowed Jesus to be protected and allowed the gospel of love to spread into the world, I don't know about you, but as I look around the world in my life and the community I live in, we need that love to spread. And if we won't do it now, who is going to do it? So the trick for all of us as individuals and as a community is to be like the Magi, to be those who develop the craft more and more of discerning the voices that come into us all of the time, and doing that in such a way that that allows love to spread outward into the world. And so may all of us and each of us and all of us together, may we look up and in and between. And dear ones, let's cross every border that we can find. In Christ's name and for the life of the whole world.